So hello everyone, a very good morning, and I am Aarti Singh from Iowa State. And before I go into my talk, I would like to thank organizers, especially Laura Merrick, for inviting me here for my talk. So today I'll be talking about towards high throughput stress phenotyping using machine learning in soybeans. So my talk today is divided into four sections. First of all, I'll be giving you a brief background and motivation for getting in this research area. And then I'll be talking about machine learning driven high throughput stress phenotyping and ICQP paradigm. And after that, I'll give you two examples, one from iron deficiency chlorosis phenotyping and second from multi-stress phenotyping using deep learning. So this is a slide showing neural networks, where these circles represent neurons, and these lines represent network. And this is the same slide which one of my present collaborator, Dr. Bhaskar, showed in 2014. And he was giving this talk on upcoming technologies in engineering, and where he was talking about how neural networks can be used to differentiate a face of a human from a face of a cat. And I was sitting in an audience, and I realized that if neural networks can differentiate between a face of a human and cat, why can't it differentiate between two diseases? And with that notion, I started thinking, and I started looking into the literature, regarding machine learning technologies used in disease phenotyping. And to my surprise, I found a lot of literature out there where engineers were using machine learning for plant diseases. But there were two major problems. The first problem was that only engineers were working on this problem. Plant breeder or pathologists were not involved in machine learning, which they were doing at that time. And the second problem was the population size. They were using population in tens or 50s. Like a lot of overfitting was going on. So then I started thinking more about this problem, and I said, if I want to work on this in plant diseases, I need to collaborate with engineer and plant breeders. So this is Dr. Bhaskar's, whose slide I saw in 2014, which motivated for me to work in this area. And this is Dr. Danny Singh, who is a soybean breeder. And this is Shomik Sarkar, who is an ML specialist in mechanical engineering. So after reading a lot of literature, I realized that I need to find a way how I can use this machine learning and plant diseases. So I came up with this ICQP paradigm, where I stands for identification. So if you are flying a UAV and you are interested, or you are scouting a field and you are interested in finding a disease, which disease it is, so this identification comes. So you want to identify which disease it is. Classification, once you have identified a disease, you want to know whether it is a low, medium, or high disease. And then you want to do quantification, so where you want to know the exact severity of the disease. And last but not the least is prediction, where you want to predict early stress prediction using weather data or severity data. So in traditional phenotyping, usually a human will go into the field and he'll look into each and every row and plant, and he'll rate it visually, like what he's seeing in the top of the canopy. But in high throughput setting, these UAVs or robots will be going in field, and they'll be collecting spatial and temporal data, and they collect terabytes of data. And this data is huge, and it is high throughput phenotyping in the sense that data is collecting at a very high speed, but we are not analyzing. It is just sitting on the hard drive, or it is on the cloud. So in order to make sense of this data, machine learning comes into play, because it can see the hidden patterns which we can't see. So what is machine learning? So machine learning is the approach of artificial intelligence that gives computer to learn from the data without being explicitly programmed. In case of traditional programming, data and program goes into the computer and it gives you output. But in case of machine learning, data and output goes into the computer and gives you program. When I say data, you can think about as it could be an image, an output, it is a label, it could be a classification, and it is giving you a program, which is basically a training step in machine learning. So in order to use machine learning workflow in plant stress phenotyping, there are two important phases in machine learning. First phase is training phase, where the image and the label are used to train the machine learning algorithm. But the important step is feature extraction. The feature extraction is a key step, and it is based on the domain knowledge, the expert knowledge. So this is a key step, and I'll be talking this in my next slide. And the next phase is prediction phase. And in prediction phase, the learned model in the training phase goes in here and it predicts the unseen image and it gives a label to it. So this next slide is about iron deficiency phenotyping. Iron deficiency chlorosis is an abiotic stress in soybeans where when plants are unable to absorb iron from the soil, they show chlorosis in the form of yellow color, and later on they show necrosis and chlorosis together. A breeder goes into the field and he rates these plants in the field from rating scale of 1 to 5, where rating scale rating score of 1 is for healthy plant, rating scale of 3 is for chlorosis and it is like moderately resistant, whereas this rating scale of 5 is for highly susceptible plant. But this phenotyping is very time consuming, laborious, and it is very subjective because it suffers from intra and inter rater variability. When I say intra rater variability, that means when I am going into a field and I am rating a plot, and I go again into the field and I rate some plant and I'm rating it differently, that is intra-rater variability. And if a person goes, if two people are going into the same plant and they are rating the same number of plants and they are rating them differently, that is inter-rater variability. So these, this intra-rater and inter-rater variability drove my project objective. The first objective was to automate IDC severity in field, and the second objective was to develop a smartphone app for real-time IDC phenotyping. The first step in using machine learning workflow in IDC phenotyping is image acquisition, and image can be taken using RGB camera, whereas in high throughput setting these images can be taken using UAVs. And after image acquisition, the next step is pre-processing, where the image, we are interested in extracting this foreground, which is the plant, from the background, which is soil, dirt, or tag. And after changing this RGB format into a hue saturation value format and applying hue saturation components, we do thresholding of the image and we apply this connected component, which is which this algorithm selects the largest component from the field, and this way our image is ready for feature extraction. As I said earlier, feature extraction is a key step. It is also called as feature engineering. What this means is we are interested in extracting key features. We are changing the domain knowledge into features. So expert will see this IDC in the form of yellow and brown pixels. So this is how we, the formula is here, and you can calculate the total IDC in the form of percentage yellow and percentage brown. And after feature extraction, the next important step is model training, and where our machine learning model will be doing classification and quantification. So this yellow and brown feature vector is used along with the labels, which can be from 1 to 5 in this case, or for quantification we can use the label from 0 to 100, which is given by a rater. And using these two things we train a machine learning model. In this case we use a hierarchical classification, where the classification was done into two stages, first stage classification and second stage classification, and the machine learning model is able to classify the training images into five classes. So after we successfully were able to train this model, and we were able to validate and test this model, we were able to deploy it on a smartphone app so that we can do high throughput phenotyping using, it is not high throughput in the sense because human will be using it, but this can be used, this app or this algorithm or this framework can be used with UAVs or other high throughput platforms. And then the data collected from this can be used to do genomics and phenomics. So this was the example from single stress. And we showed the app created using this machine learning to farmers. And they got so excited when they saw this. And the next question was, can we use it for other diseases? And which drove my second example, which is multiple stress phenotyping using deep learning. And in this project, my PhD student, David Blystone, worked with Shyam Ghosal, who is PhD student of Soumik Sarkar. The objectives of this research were to automatically identify, classify, and quantify biotic and abiotic stresses in soybean. So in summer of 2016, David Blystone went to the field and he collected around 25,000 images. Excuse me. And in this 25,000 images, there were biotic and abiotic stress images of bacterial, fungal, nutritional, and chemical injury. So in this case, as you can see, there are seven different stresses along with the healthy one. There are eight different stresses. So, but in first case, in IDC, we used handcrafting of the features using feature engineering, yellow and brown percentage. But in this case, we can't use handcrafting because these diseases are so similar to each other. And the color yellow and brown we see in each and every disease. And plus the sample size, it is 25,000 images. So we can't use machine learning or supervised machine learning, which I used in first example. And this example is perfect for using it for using deep learning. So what is the difference between machine learning and deep learning? In case of machine learning, as I said, input goes into the framework and their feature extraction, handcrafting of the feature is very important and it gives output. Whereas in case of deep learning, input goes into the framework and it gives output. The feature extraction is carried out in these deep hidden layers and there are many layers. That's why it's called deep learning. And to show you example, you can see this is an image of number 3 and it goes into this hidden layer framework where feature extraction is going on. And in feature extraction, there are two key stages, convolution and subsampling. Subsampling is also known as max pooling, and which I will explain in next slide. So feature extraction is done automatically. It's the algorithm is doing extracting features automatically. And then the classification in last two stages is carried out. So I will show this framework. I'll explain it using the diseases which I used in our program. So this is an example of herbicide injury. So when the image goes into the deep learning framework, it goes in the form of a matrix. So image, here you can see this matrix. For the simplicity of explanation, I'm just using 0 and 1, but usually this matrix number can vary from 0 to 255. So this image of herbicide, it has three channels, you can see, and the size is 64 by 64. It goes into this deep neural network framework, and the first tab is feature map. And these kernels, or this filter, is detecting these features. So feature extraction, because I told you earlier that this feature extraction is an automatic process. So using this filter, it slides over the image matrix, like you can see in this image, how it is sliding over image. And when it is sliding, it is multiplying 3x3 matrix with the 3x3 matrix of the image. And it is giving here number 4 by adding all the numbers. This is how it is extracting features. And this step is called convolution. And we are getting a convolved feature. And then the second most important step is max pooling, which I'm showing here. So what this max pooling does is it is reducing the dimension of the image. because we have 25,000 images and we can't use those images as it is. For that purpose, we have to reduce the dimension. And what max pooling does is, it selects the maximum number out of these four, and in this case, the maximum number is 6, so it comes here, and out of these four, the maximum number is 8, and it comes here. This way, it is reducing the dimension from 4x4 to 2x2. This is just an example, but in real sense, the image is quite big. So after this image goes into this framework, this alternate layer of convolution pooling, we have these two final hidden layers, and then the classification happens. And this input finally gets classified as herbicide injury. So after training our algorithm on a training data set, we wanted to test this algorithm. And we found that overall accuracy of this algorithm was 94%, and which is huge. And as expected, healthy plant showed 99% accuracy, and followed by potassium deficiency. But in case of bacterial blight and pustule, you see the accuracy decreases. And here in a confusion matrix, you can see that out of 514 samples, 77 got confused with bacterial pustule. And in bacterial pustule, 123 samples got confused with bacterial blight. And this is common, because even the expert breeder or pathologist gets confused with these two diseases because they're so similar to each other. So what? Now we have done this prediction with 94% accuracy. So why should we believe it? Because deep learning is a black box model. We don't know what's going underneath, what it is looking into the image when it is calling it as a disease. So we need to know what it is doing under this hidden hood. So we wanted to see how we can know, how can we explain which areas of leaf it is looking at. So to do that, we use gradient-based class activation mapping-based prediction explanation phase. So what it does that is, it will take the image and it will tell you which areas of the image are diseased. In case of healthy, you see there is no disease, which is good. And in case of SDS, you see that all the disease area gets highlighted. And in case of IDC, you see whole leaf is stressed out, so GradCam also shows that. In case of potassium deficiency, it beautifully shows how it is finding the heat map for the disease. So in order to prove that GradCam is doing a good job, we made an iPad app called Image Tagger, where the expert went himself and he rated all the images which GradCam used to find the area of interest. And then the expert rater went himself and he was able to find the disease region. And then you can see here, this is a rater marked image, and this is a GradCam output, and this is the original image. And we compared it, the severity, with the predicted machine learning model. So here is expert rating and here is predicted machine learning model. And we see that it is doing a pretty good job in resistant and susceptible classification, but it is getting confused somewhere here. And we know why it is doing it, and we can easily fix that. So now I have shown that this deep learning can do identification, classification, and quantification. So we wanted to know how well this model has been trained. And if the model has been trained very good, that means that it is able to generalize the features. And it has not memorized the features. So if we want to use this algorithm on a non-soybean leaf, such as in this case, crucifers, this DCNN trained algorithm is able to find this potassium deficiency. It's also able to highlight the disease regions. And also in case of this vine leaf, grapevine leaf, you can see how IDC symptoms are identified by this DCNN trained network. So I started this presentation with ICQP paradigm, where I said that using ICQP, we can we can develop a framework where we can do we can do high throughput phenotyping using machine learning. And we have proved this approach by showing that if we can automate identification, classification, quantification, we can do real high throughput stress phenotyping in a real sense. Here I haven't shown the example of prediction, but we were able to, my MS student this year, she was able to graduate and she worked on hyperspectral signatures and she used those hyperspectral signatures for prediction of charcoal rot for early prediction. In the end, I would like to conclude with 3 points. The first is choice of machine learning or deep learning depends on your data and what problem you want to solve. The second is machine learning helps in automated plant stress phenotyping and takes away subjectivity associated with traditional plant stress phenotyping. When I say subjectivity, in first case, in IDC, we were able to take away inter-rater variability. And in second case, deep learning, we were able to take away inter and intra-rater both in that case. And last but not the least, and this is the most important, the plant scientists and engineers together will push forward innovations in plant science, in sciences. In the end, I would like to acknowledge Iowa Soybean Association, who believed in my thoughts and they granted me my first grant, and which resulted in ISU Presidential Initiative Grant, which I got as a co-PI, and which with that idea we got 2 USDA grants. And we have also applied recently for BD Spoke to fulfill our long-term vision. And in the end, I would like to thank you all for listening to my presentation and any questions. Yep.